Thank you for being with us. It is Wednesday morning. Margaret Fetty is out sick again, so that makes me even happier that she didn't come in on Monday, because if she hasn't gotten over it by now, I could have had it. You heard David Hayes last hour. He's not feeling well, so make sure you take your Lysol and hand sanitizer everywhere you go today. So she's not with us, but as always on Wednesday mornings, we check in with County Councilwoman Marty Hawk. Marty, how are you feeling today?
Aha, well, I had my turn at being really sick, a couple of months ago?
You did, I remember that, right.
You're right, so I'm trying not to let anybody breathe on me. I'm telling you, I was around someone just yesterday at the drugstore, and they were sick, and I'm thinking,
well, that's why they were at the drugstore, Marty. Don't go to the drugstore if you're healthy.
Oh, this person was working there.
Oh, I got you. And
I'm thinking, oh, no, go home. At any rate, well, we are ready for Wednesday morning.
We are.
And it has been a busy week for county council members, going from one meeting to the next, trying to meet with citizens who are concerned about this annexation and other situations going on. So I am glad to have my health back, because I need it.
Yeah, and we're glad to have you on the airwaves, too, because there's so many things coming at us quickly and fastly here recently. Heck, the comprehensive master plan, there's going to be a meeting on that next week for Bloomington. There's so many things happening. Keeping them all in order. Why, I appreciate you and Tim Mayer helping me out with it. But you did have a meeting last night, and annexation is on everybody's mind, and it's affecting things down the line. Tell us what you heard and saw last night.
Okay, last night, of course, we discussed this at our last gathering, having to do with our library. And, of course, we all love our library, and it's sad to say, but it's truthful that we are all in this problem with this annexation situation together, because it's the same taxpayer who's concerned about how they're going to have fire protection, how they're going to have police protection, how much more it's going to cost them, or how their area is going to be affected. Those same people are the ones who pay the taxes for the library. And so I understand fully that the library board, their mission is to take care of library issues, and that's their mission. So it's up to the county council to look at the entire bigger picture of all the services that the county folks rely on, whether you're inside the city or outside the city, and we all love our library. But when we're looking at we just do not know as yet how the annexation is going to affect all the different taxing units. We felt this was not the time to put our stamp of approval of moving forward with building a new branch, because that's what the request was. It was like $930,000 that they wanted in an additional appropriation. So it's from their operating surplus that they've saved back. Now, remember, when I say it was theirs, it was money that the taxpayers put in there for them, for their use. And they wanted to use that amount because they plan to use the funds for facility projects. And one of that, it says that my paperwork says the request is related to the library facility finance plan that includes a new branch for Monroe County. So that was where our concern was. And it didn't appear that everyone understood that the increase in the taxes that the city's going to put in place would affect their revenue. There was some consideration that maybe it was, you know, because a lot of the increase would be for the debt, that wouldn't affect the library's revenue and the local income tax. But it, not even if we don't look at the debt, if we just look at the total increase in tax levy for the city, then that gives them the opportunity to pull in a whole lot more of that local income tax. And that's where, of course, the library will be affected. And I'm not sure why there was a misunderstanding there, but for those of us who have been working on these numbers for months, we know it will affect them. That's why the county's worried about our revenue. So, but, you know, this is, no one can expect the library board to be sitting there looking at city finances and county finances and so forth. But it is the county council's responsibility to try to understand all of those things. So what we determined that the most prudent way to move forward with this is to wait until after the annexation vote by the city, see how all that shakes out, see how the finances work out, before we put our stamp of approval on a brand new branch for the public library.
And the Ellettsville branch, everything's going as planned there?
Well, as I understand it, they do have the money to move forward to do the situation where they're going to do improvements with the branch. No, you know, it seems to me it makes a lot more sense to take care of the facilities you already have, the buildings you already have, and to maintain those and to improve upon them if necessary. That they do not need our approval for. They already have that in their budget. So
now the interesting, you're talking about budget numbers and city numbers and county numbers. Where is the county? Didn't you commission somebody to do a study on how the economic impact would be? When are you expecting the results of that study?
Well, it came in last week, and there were a lot of questions that we needed clarified. We didn't feel like there was it gave us a clear answer, and so we sent back some questions like, please clarify this, make it so that it's more readable. So that
you don't want to mislead anybody, right, on those numbers.
Absolutely. And the other thing is, clearly, if you're not involved with this day-to-day, you wonder, did they miss something? Because, like, we all know that, like, the city's plan missed some things. So, and in the meantime, what changes everything is the total assessed value. And that brings me down to the other thing I wanted to talk about, a couple of things. One, you would have received in the mail in the last couple of days what is called a Form 11, and that if you own property, that is your notice of assessment of land and structures. Believe me, do not just set that aside thinking it matters not to you, because what you want to look at is the total between what the previous assessment was and what the new assessment is, and see how much it has changed, because that's what you'll be paying on for next year, not for 2017, but for 2018. And you don't have to, if you wait until 2018 to say, oh, I don't think these numbers are right, then that's too late.
Marty, when you say take a look at these bills and you say these numbers aren't quote-unquote right, what do you mean by that? If we're talking to some first-time homeowners or people that might not have dealt with this before, what wouldn't be right about that number?
Well, if you are looking at it and you don't think that bottom line is the correct, if it doesn't reflect what you believe the market value is of your property.
Market value, there you go. Okay.
Right. And so if you look at it and you go, wait, they must have looked at something that's not quite right, well, you can go into the assessor's office to discuss it with them. But you must do that, and I don't have a deadline, let's say not later than 45 days after the date of the notice. So you only have just a certain deadline for filing an appeal.
And how would you
May
know?
May 23rd.
And how would you know if that number is right or wrong? Just from houses selling in your neighborhood? How would you?
Right. Well, that's what they're supposed to be looking at. What is the market value in your particular area? So the date is May 23rd. That's a deadline date.
May 23rd.
May 23rd of 2017. So many people get that, and they don't really look at it, and they think, well, and then they get their tax bill in 2018, and they go, wait a minute. Well, so don't forget that important piece of paper there. Now, having to do with that, the other situation is that we received notice from our county assessor that the agriculture reserve background, and I hope I'm saying that correctly here because my computer's not working right and I'm having to go by memory. It has been in the past being assessed, it appears, at the agriculture rates. And so they've been trying to switch off that ground that's not actually used, just the farm ground, over into another group of way to assess that property. And it appeared that moving that agriculture reserve land over into this, from a 92 category over into a 91 category, it's raising the assessed value by something like, and I believe that number was $70-some million. So for those folks out there who own a lot of ground, take a look at what's happening with the assessment on your ground.
So this is a reclassification?
Right, and it evidently is not going to be considered agriculture ground. Now, what my question was going to be, because of the annexation rules, it has to do with anything annexed after a certain time in 2015, I believe the number was, the city cannot charge city tax rate on to agricultural ground, and it is tied to the way it is assessed. So if we have all of this acreage that's no longer be assessed as agricultural reserve, but some other thing, then will that then mean that the city will be able to put a city tax on to all this ground that they perhaps would not have been able to in the past? All of that will be determined by, I don't know, probably some lawyer someplace. because all I could do was look at it and ask questions. I don't have the answers, but I'm just saying, heads up for those of you who are sitting on a lot of ground. And if you're not actually farming it, you may not get that break for having, because there is a reduction for agricultural ground, and you don't pay the full amount. So that people would for ground that's not being used for agriculture. So all of that said, also, we know that one of the things that we do with the taxes that you pay is with the county, we pay, we cover all of the bridges, and that it would include any of the culverts that's more than 20 feet in length. And so yesterday at the meeting, we approved the expenditure of, and this is a big one, $1,263,500. Now, that's money that was already voted on during the budget process when we were doing the entire budget for the county. And we had that set aside so that when they decided which bridges they really wanted and needed to spend the money on, they would bring us the list. And this is the list. Remember that the county must provide these services for the bridges and the culverts inside the city, outside the city, in town, Ellisville, every place. And so this is a big expenditure, but it is, I mean, we have to have safe bridges, and hopefully we'll never have to cut our bridge fund because a
well,
lot
your,
of
your bridge fund, have, your bridge fund's going to be added too, right, with all these overpasses going over the interstate, right? How does that work? Who's paying for those? You don't have to tell me that right now, but I just, when I was driving on it last Sunday, it's like overpass. There's another bridge over this creek,
okay,
another bridge
over
that creek.
Right. Well, it depends on whether or not it is a Monroe County bridge or whether the federal highway.
Yeah, that's, right. So I'm not sure which are those, but interesting. Marty Hawk's our guest this morning. The county councilwoman checks in with us every Wednesday morning to get updated on what's happening with county finance. That's the council's job. I know this isn't probably up your alley, but the city's put out, they have something, the comprehensive master plan going on. Does that affect the county as well?
Well, of course. I mean, remember that regardless whether you're inside the city or outside of the city, everyone pays county taxes. So whatever happens inside the city affects the people that we represent as well. It seems to me, There were others that I spoke with yesterday that sort of thought that might also be the case. This is sort of a red herring. Oh, let's keep them busy thinking about this. They won't have time to think about the annexation. We'll just keep everybody so busy jumping from one hoop to another that we'll just push everything.
Well, it was interesting because this has been going on for 6 years, and we're going to do it right now, right in the middle of all this other stuff. I just found that. I'm going to ask Mick Renheisen the same questions tomorrow morning or whoever we talk to from the mayor's office, but it just feels like this is a waterfall, and every time you look around, something else is coming down the pike. Do we have enough time to evaluate all this, or is it just we've already evaluated it and we're just putting the stamp on it?
Well, you know what? We might have evaluated everything in the past. We just like the library, we evaluated that in the past. These things are the things we've been talking about for a long time. But when somebody comes in and throws a wrench in everybody's plans, what they thought they could do and when they thought they could do it, shouldn't we all just step back and say, okay, is this really going to hit us as hard as we think with this annexation or not? And it seems to me that the city is putting out this plan without...
Well, they might have 12,000 citizens that they might not have in there.
Well, that's exactly what I'm saying. Why move forward with something which does not include this new plan? I mean, why aren't we waiting until after this annexation? And then move forward with whatever other things that people want to get in the mix. I mean, it makes no sense to me, and I don't see why there'd be some kind of a monumental deadline that they have to push this through. Let's have all the amendments to them by the 25th. And in the meantime, of course, we have the Easter holiday. And
Friday, April 21st, 4 o'clock, all amendments must be submitted by then.
Oh, 21st.
21st here, Friday, a week from Friday.
I was trying to head for it. See?
Yeah, I'm on the city's website right now. Well, I just want everybody to be aware of this. You might not like it, or you might not like how I present it, but this is what's happening, and you need to know about it. And then all the amendments have to be submitted by 4 p.m. on Friday, April 21st. There are comprehensive plan meetings going on Monday the 17th, Thursday the 20th, Monday the 24th, Tuesday the 25th, May 1st, May 4th, but all the amendments must be already in by those meetings, at least after the first two, so there you are.
I would just bet Edgewood Hills residents would like to go and say, look.
And that's another interesting story.
Right. First of all, tell me, are you going to include us or not? Because we don't want in. Included. We don't. If you're not going to give us any services, which is pretty clear, you've already said you're not going to do this, but you still want our extra tax dollars, and now you're changing the growth policy plan, but you're not including us in that. It just seems as though there's someone that's trying to guide this ship in stormy waters that we do not need to be moving forward with all this. Let's wait until the sea's calm just a little bit before we start moving forward with other things. Now, I know we can walk and chew gum at the same time, but we don't need to be shooting at each other like this. We just don't.
When's the next council meeting?
Well, we're having continuous meetings with a lot of different things. But
okay.
We just had a meeting last night, so then it'll be a couple of weeks from now. The county commissioners meeting, remember, will be on Thursday of this week and not Friday, since it'll be Good Friday on this Friday. So I appreciate the opportunity to meet with you, and I have no idea where we are on time because, as I said,
we're always
out. Computer just shut down.
You're fine.
I have no time to fix it.
Have a happy Easter holiday, and we will get caught up with you next Wednesday and see what else is brewing in county government.
Thank you so much. Happy holidays to everyone out there.